Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Jacob's here. Bree's here. Aki's here. How you doing?
I'm having a day.
I'm doing pretty good.
What kind of day are you having, Bree? Talk to me.
I don't know. It's just been a rough day. Like, woke up to some drama, woke up to too many messages. You know, just things got stressful, things snowballed. I don't really want to talk about the details. It's just, you know, it's just been one of those days.
I feel you. I woke up with a crazy migraine, throbbing
arm. No.
Yeah. Follow-up for my migraines is tomorrow morning, which is good. Follow-up for my arm is next week.
Nice.
So I might end up getting MRIs on both my head and my arm. Yay.
Yeah.
Oof. Yippee.
That's not fun.
Nope. No, it's not. MRIs are fucking boring, man.
yeah, they are.
Get to lay there for like 2 hours and listen to a machine go clonk, 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 clonk.
Oh, well, they tell you not to move.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you should do, Joe, while you're there? You should have a butt plug inserted in your anus while you're having it done.
No.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
You tell me why I should first.
Because, you know, yeah, exactly. It's something to do.
So the magnets hit the metal butt plug and rip it through my body?
What?
Don't get a metal one. Get a plastic one.
No.
Okay.
Glass?
Speaking of butt plugs, y'all hear about the news this week?
Which?
No.
Is this about Borderlands?
No.
Oh.
We'll get to Borderlands.
Out of all the video games, Borderlands would be the ones to create a butt plug, though.
When you talk about butt plugs, things are usually shitty. So let's get to some shitty news. Xbox got a worldwide price increase today.
Yep. Likely in response to tariffs.
Yep. The $299 512 gig Series S. Now $379.
No. I refuse.
The 1 terabyte Series S is $429. Yep. Nice, huh? The digital Series X is now more than a normal Series X, clocking in at $549.
Mm-hmm.
But then the normal Series X went to $599.
Yep.
What about that 2 terabyte Galaxy Black Edition if it ever comes back in stock? Remember how that was $599?
Yeesh.
Wait, is that $729? Jesus.
Accessories are also increasing across the board. And yep. Microsoft plans to increase first party titles to $80 this fall.
Thank you, Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much Nintendo as, you know, certain dumbass politicians or people.
The game prices are Nintendo.
Yeah.
The hardware prices are not. So, yeah, 5 years into the console and it's going up drastically.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, well. Right. I'm not going to have to buy another Xbox for a long time, so.
Hope not.
No, if this breaks, I'm just going to switch to PC only. Because that shit's already outrageously priced. I don't care if it goes up anymore. Oh, instead of paying $2,000, I have to pay $3,000. Oh, okay. And still overly, unnecessarily priced out of my price range any fucking way, so it don't really matter.
Yeah, these price increases are really shit.
Bullshit.
Yeah, they are.
Xbox sitting in third place, drastically behind in third place. Hard time selling units. Raise the price.
Yep. I mean, out of all the consoles, they also are the ones who care the least about selling it. Because remember, everything's a fucking Xbox now.
Yep.
So they don't give a shit. If you stop buying their Xboxes, as long as they're still selling you their games, they're still making money. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that. I mean, this was probably part of their longevity plan, you know, in case shit like this, happens in the world economy. They can, like, they could always just pivot to other consoles and other devices and all that other kind of shit.
Yeah, that would be my guess. That's probably exactly why they had this plan.
Yay.
Yep.
I really didn't want to live through, like, historically interesting times. I really didn't. Yay! Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to be in history books.
We won't. Just one certain stupid fucking Oompa Loompa will.
Oh, Sony had a state of play dedicated entirely to Borderlands 4. Bree, you checked that out, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I have some notes. Give
us the details.
So they gave a solid release date of September 12th of this year. The whole thing takes place on a new planet called Kairos. There are four environments on the planet, new vault hunters with cool new abilities. There's a dynamic weather and events like silos in the world. They have a glide ability, cross-platform play, personal vehicles like hover bikes. They rebalanced loot rarity types, and now legendaries will actually be rare again. And you can replay missions and bosses whenever you feel like it.
Mm.
So, yeah. Not a lot of story hooks that they gave us. Just a little bit about the planet and, like, there's some, you know, dictator, and because of the planet Elpis that Lilith teleported, now this planet's on the radar and now there's a Vault Hunt. So, that was about the only story hook they gave us.
Yeah. Does it look good?
It looks good.
Not cool. Electronic Arts laid off between 300 and 400 employees and canceled an in-development Titanfall extraction shooter.
Yep. A lot of jobs were apparently things like customer support and marketing.
Of course, it was customer support. Why would any company ever want customer support when they can slap a piece of shit AI functioned goddamn robot to do it poorly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She pisses me off. We are in the worst fucking timeline.
Yeah, we are.
I don't know. I still feel like the worst timeline is the one where Big Bird blew up on the space shuttle. Do you guys know about that?
Okay.
No, I have no idea.
That would have so been traumatic.
the Challenger, I think it was the Challenger is the one
that blew up. It was the Challenger, yeah.
So they invited Big Bird to go to space, and that was going to be like a whole big thing, and they ultimately turned it down because they just couldn't figure out the logistics of it. But yeah, Big Bird was supposed to be on the Challenger, and that would have been really freaking dramatic.
What, they would have taught something amazing with it, though. They were very good at that.
Yeah, I mean, they would have already covered similar subject matter after the passing of Mr. Hooper, but like, holy shit! Can you imagine kids like watching that live?
Jeez. Yeah, because that was live televised in classrooms. Yep, and
I saw that happen live.
Yep. Yep. So did
my brother.
That was like R9/11.
Fair.
I love it. PlayStation Plus monthly games for May were announced. Ark Survival Ascended, Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun, and Balatro.
Oh.
All right.
There goes everyone's weeks and months right there.
Yep. There's this unheard of indie game called Claire Obscure Expedition 33. It sold a million copies in 3 days.
Yep. It sold 500,000 the first day. They also got to 100,000 concurrent players on Steam, beating out Metaphor ReFantazio.
And that doesn't include Game Pass players.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone who's questioning whether you should get that game, from what I've seen from other people playing it, there is apparently an outfit that you can equip that's called Baguette. And it puts them in the Frenchest outfit you can think of, and the weapon turns into a fucking baguette. There you go. That alone should require you to buy the game.
The most French outfit that you could think of.
Yes.
Yes, with a beret and like suspenders and like the black and white striped shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure where we were going.
Have you seen the outfit?
Yes.
Because I was expecting like a French maid or something like that, but I was also assuming like it was going to be like, you know, French soldier kind of thing. I don't know. It was a weird mental image.
I've heard it's so French that you fight a mime at some point.
Oh, you fight multiple you mimes.
Makes me so happy. Oh my god.
Why does it make you happy?
I don't know. I just, anytime a mime gets the shit made out of him, it amuses me.
Yeah, there's an achievement for beating up a mime in the game.
Oh, praise it to be this game. I love it.
Jacob, look at the screen.
Oh, I'm not even on the Twitch channel right now.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Wee baguette.
Oh my god.
See, I told you it's the Frenchest fucking outfit you can think of.
Alrighty.
Yeah. That is that's an outfit in the game.
I'm probably, the moment I unlock that, I will probably leave whoever that is in that outfit forever, because that is just fantastic. My stomach's starting to hurt. Oh, man.
Madden NFL 22, shutting down October 20th.
Yep.
Fair.
I finished that one twice.
Wow.
Wait, really?
Easy achievements.
Really?
I'm shocked. I did not expect a Madden game to have easy achievements. I figured they'd all be time-consuming, annoying sacks of shit.
No, Madden 06 is known for having super easy achievements.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I, to be honest, I just was not expecting Bree to have played Madden.
I also played Madden 21. Because it had easy achievements. Yeah, you can download rosters and follow some people's guides and get some pretty easy achievements.
You keep Bojangles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, Breed. Yeah, she really did 1K it. My God. Only took you 6 hours. You
questioned her?
6 hours. Jeez. Huh. I think I'm going to fire this up.
You own it?
Quick. You have to lock cover.
Yeah, I had to review it.
Oh.
You say that like I'm supposed to remember what the fuck you reviewed 3 years ago.
I mean, I'm generally the only one that ever reviews Madden, so...
We don't always get it.
Also a fair statement.
I know we don't always get it, but when we do, I'm generally the one that gets to review it.
Hockey's reviewing the next one.
Oh, fuck no, I'm not. I mean, no, I politely decline your offer... Command, statement, any other abbreviation of words. No, thank you.
I still think MLB The Show 24 was a fairly easy completion for what it was.
I haven't 1K'd it yet.
I got my 1K. 25, nice. I'm not going to get my 1K.
Why not?
Too much weird shit in there that I don't want to do. Yeah.
What's some of the weird shit? Give me a couple examples. Just a couple is enough.
Bondage. Oh, God, let me pull up the...
Bondage isn't weird. That's pretty common.
Game collection. Load a little slower, please.
Well, you know, it's got to load like 5,000 titles. So
in one game, use each type of hitting and pitching interface to get one hit or strikeout with each type. Thanks.
That one, yeah, that one is annoying. I'm not gonna lie, because I've got a guy who hits and pitches, and like it has yet to come up.
Oh, I would have thought that one wouldn't have been too hard. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I think you have to have a player developed a very specific way to be able to get that achievement, or you have to be playing as somebody.
I would assume you just play in quick play, so you do the pitching and all the hitting.
Fair.
You don't have to do it with one player.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, you just have to do each type of hitting and pitching interface, and I don't like doing the different pitching and hitting interfaces. I just want to press X to swing my bat. That's all I want to do.
Boy.
Yeah. As a batter, go from an 0-2 count to a 3-2 count. So you have to hope that the pitcher just throws tons of balls.
You'd like it when they throw tons of balls.
You like it when they throw balls at your face.
That's what I just implied about you.
No, you just said throw balls. I specifically said your face, as your mouth is very accepting to balls. No, no, no denial.
I mean, no.
Far Cry 4 got a 60 frame update on Series X and PS5.
Nice.
10-year-old game gets an update. Works for me.
I like it.
Did they say why?
For the fuck of it, I guess.
Well, it's on Game Pass now. We're about to be on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be it.
Maybe. Lost Soul Aside is getting delayed from May 30th to August 29th. It is a PS5 and Steam game published by Sony.
Mm.
A few more months to work on that one.
Okie dokie.
Evil Dead the Game just got delisted after only 3 years of service. I believe some of the DLC is on sale on Xbox right now. So if there's anything you want, you might as well get it now while it's on sale, because it's probably going away after this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to lie. That one was a little too hard for its, like, for its own good. Like, yeah. I don't know. Gameplay wise, it wasn't bad, but it was just hard as hell for one of those asymmetric multiplayer games.
Yeah.
And I just remember playing with people, and all of us were just like, this is like, it's graphically beautiful. And like, granted, like the controls are good, but holy shit, like it is so much of a grind to win. Yeah.
Speaking of grinds, did you guys see the achievement list for Fragpunk?
No.
I heard that was a grind.
It is a pretty nasty one. Let's see if I can find some good ones here. Complete 5,000 matches.
Oh,
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Get a triple kill 500 times.
God damn. I might get that once if I'm lucky.
Get a quadra kill 500 times.
Nope.
Get a penta kill 300 times.
Yeah, nope.
1,000 headshots. 1,000
terrible.
1,000 wins in duels. Draw first blood 1,000 times. Kill 10,000 enemies.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'll leave that game to somebody else.
Yeah, I'm not going to play Fragpunk.
Not for me. I've got Sea of Thieves to worry about still.
I won't do without that one. Some sad news. Codemaster. What'd you say, Aki?
So that's Gears of War level bullshit, that Fragpunk. Jesus.
Yeah. Codemasters is ending development on the WRC series. The 2024 season will be the final expansion they release.
Oh,
what exactly is that? It sounds world, familiar, but I don't know
rally
what it is.
Championship.
Yeah.
Rally okay. racing.
That's a shame.
They were good games. It's just I'm not good at those games.
Yeah. Rally racing is not my jam.
They're good games, but they didn't sell well enough for EA, so they're killing it.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw Codemasters signed with EA, I knew they were in trouble.
Yep.
Last bit of news I have is some good news. Let's end on a high note.
Oh, thank fuck, please.
Sea of Stars, Throes of the Watchmaker DLC is coming out May 20th.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's the JRPG game, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Awesome.
Aki, what news do you have?
Well, the only thing I have is good news for me that no one else is going to give a shit about, but Onimusha 2 Remake is coming out May 23rd, and I am excited, and I wants it, and I needs it. And that's it. That's all my news. I'm just excited for it, because I fucking love Onimusha.
Bree, what do you got?
Well, hopefully Jacob has some good news, because most of my stuff is also bad. last week, Meta laid off over 100 people in their AR, VR, hardware, and games departments. Yeah. Let's see. Today, the video game website Polygon, one of the largest gaming sites around, was sold to Valnet, who runs Game Rant and Screen Rant. And then there were a bunch of layoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's happening because there can be only one is a certain group's opinion.
Yeah. Maybe a reminder, maybe new news to some people, but Dauntless and Multiverses servers shut down at the end of May.
Multiverses?
Yeah. Yes. I like Dauntless when game it first came out.
I don't know what that is, but I thought that the other game was doing, like, amazingly.
No.
Well, Multiverses? No, it never did well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Warner Brothers fucked around too much with it and made too much content that people didn't care about and then wondered why nobody was playing.
Ah, fair.
Tenderfoot Tactics has removed their 2024 title from the Xbox store as a boycott in solidarity for Palestine.
I'm going to ask what a stupid question.
That might have been the name of the game and my notes are terrible. No, yeah, that's the name of the game, is Tenderfoot Tactics.
So, how does boycotting selling their game on Xbox?
They're removing it from the store. You can't buy it anymore because that's their political stance. Something about Xbox is still working with Israel or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
or Microsoft or something.
Microsoft's still working with Israel and they're using their AI.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Alrighty then, I guess.
And I mean, like, this is nothing new. I mean, for Microsoft anyway. I mean, that was the whole point of the whole HoloLens thing that they were developing, because that was going to have military application with it. So.
Okay. Interesting. I've learned new things today. Thank you, both of you.
Last bit of news I have is the UK is banning gaming controller exports to Russia because they have been repurposed to control drones that target civilians. And the UK doesn't want to have any part of that anymore.
Yeah. Fair?
Yeah. That was the most positive news in my pile.
All right, Jacob, it's all up to you. I mean, that's pretty
positive, so.
All right. Well,
So going back to Borderlands, there is one game designer also who was also a data miner who is going about to bring back Borderlands Online. If you don't remember it, that's because you didn't live in China years ago. But it was an MMFPS, and they're going to try to make it available for everyone to play. So good luck to them.
Interesting. That's kind of cool.
On the other hand, the Japanese Game Preservation Society announced that they only have enough money going to keep them up going through September. So they are they're severely needing funds. They did a lot of amazing work to preserve thousands of Japanese video, like both cartridge video games, but also mobile games too. So
that's a shame. Hopefully they get their funding, because shit like that's kind of important.
Yeah.
Russia is trying to seize assets from the World of Tanks bosses. So once the Ukraine-Russia conflict started happening, they pretty much split into two companies, and like the one who makes it for the rest of the world does their own thing, and then there is a Russian spin-off company that pretty much doesn't work with them anymore, but makes like a Russian version of World of Tanks. So the Russian government is essentially going after them and saying that they're aiding the enemy, even though the Russian arm has nothing to do with the other one. It's kind of bizarre, but they're being investigated now.
I mean, people in charge of Russia need money. They've wasted a whole bunch of it. Of course, they're going to do anything. It's money.
Cyber Group Studios, and this is more so of animation news. They're the group who made Gigantosaurus, which we've reviewed a few of their games, related with Outright Games, since Joe and I are brand ambassadors, and I think Bree is too now.
For what?
You're a brand ambassador for Outright Games now, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, so, you know, we've played them before, so they are being ordered to be liquidated, which kind of sucks, because, like, there were public offers out there on the table, but the French court is still like, no, we have to break you up. But what was really interesting about all of this, and that pretty much everyone's burying in the news, is that it turns out that this group was also working on an animated Final Fantasy IX cartoon show. It was going to be a sequel cartoon following Vivi?
Yeah.
The Black Mage. So, yeah. And also Vivi's children. But, all right, Joe, play the music.
It's movie watch. There.
We're getting a split fiction movie. Am I good now? Okay. We're getting a split fiction adaptation. Sydney Sweeney is going to star John M. Chu, who directed Wicked. He is going to be the director for it, and the screenwriters are going to be the same ones that did Deadpool and Wolverine.
Nice.
Oh, hell yes.
Good combo.
So, yeah. So, that's all the news I got.
And I played that for one friggin' thing.
I mean, I could talk about Disney Dreamlight Valley if you want.
I thought you were going to talk about Sydney Sweeney's other movie, too.
We talked about that last week.
Recover it, because I don't remember.
Outrun. Yeah. Like, she's going to produce it, and Michael Bay is either producing or directing it. It's going to be over at Universal Studios. And yeah, that's all that's known about it.
Jazzy. All right. Anything else anyone want to talk about? Or are we already moving to reviews?
I guess we're moving to reviews.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have anything you want to talk about, Joe?
My arm hurts.
We can talk about that. That's fine.
Would you like me to kiss it and make it better?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to slip tongue.
Oh, gross.
I hate it because I've been trying to play games and I just can't. And it sucks.
Yeah.
Keep like, telling you,
now's the time to hop into Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Why, do you have Disney Dreamlight Valley news?
Well,
I mean, he always does.
I mean, I could, theoretically.
Sure, what's the news? About,
more Star Wars stuff has dropped in the premium shop. Ooh. You can now get Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber, his outfit from Attack of the Clones, and Padme's wedding outfit from the end of Attack of the Clones. Or is it? Yeah, it's the wedding outfit.
Let me know what outfit that is.
Sorry, I'm a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
You big old dumb idiot.
Is that all that was added? Was just those three things? Four things?
Yeah. No,
I add new stuff all the time. Here's a good one.
Put your penis where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then Big Adam doing a war cry from Chivalry. I like that one.
Okay.
First game to talk about tonight, Clair Obscur Expedition 33, developed by Sandfall Interactive, published by Kepler Interactive. Released April 24th on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Once a year, the Paintress wakes and paints upon her monolith. Paints her cursed number, and everyone of that age turns to smoke and fades away. Year by year, that number ticks down, and more of us are erased. Tomorrow, she'll wake up and paint 33. Tomorrow, we depart on our final mission. Destroy the Paintress, so she can never paint death again. Bree, tell us about your time with Clair Obscur Expedition 33.
So, this is a 3D turn-based RPG set in fantasy dystopian France. Famous landmarks of Paris are mutated or destroyed in the landscape, and there's pools of flower petals everywhere. The art is photorealistic with an artistic spin, which is to say, it is an absolutely gorgeous game. The story starts on the eve of the Gommage, an event caused by the god known as the Paintress. Every year on the same day, she wakes up and paints a number on the monolith, and anyone over that age dies in a puff of smoke and flower petals. And the same day starts a new expedition to try and stop it. Paintress paints the number 33, and we've achieved title. This all started happening 67 years ago during what was called the Fracture, where part of the once beautiful city of Paris, now known as Lumiere, was thrown into the middle of the ocean, and the rest of the continent became separate and a place to explore. The prologue follows Gustave and his love Sophie, who is sweet and well-loved and is accepting of her fate because she's about to die. Gustave is joining Expedition 33 to try and stop the Gommage. First hour or so of gameplay is the prologue tutorial where we learn some of the attitudes of people towards the expedition, their short lives, and how the world operates. Like, there are people who dedicate themselves to gathering the orphans of the Gommage. There's a whole marketplace where people who are about to Gommage leave their possessions for others to use. People have sayings like, "We're already dead. You're just catching up." And there are those who don't believe in the expeditions, that they're a waste of time, and others who volunteer because they feel they have to keep trying. And when you complete a battle, it shows you a victory screen where you can see your stats, and you get out of the screen and it says, "We continue." Because once you're on the expedition, there's nothing left. You either succeed, or you're going to age out and die. And the amount of world and character building they do in less than an hour is impressive. And the Gommage happens, and tears. So kudos to the team for making me care about a character in such a short period of time. And then we leave on the expedition finally, and all hell breaks loose, and somehow a few members of the team survive. Somehow Gustave survives and finds himself alone in a strange forest. We've got to figure out what's going on and find the team at the rendezvous point. But when we get there, there's a mysterious note about one of your team, and that sets you off on a quest to find them. The characters who become part of your team are all interesting, they're well-written dialogue and quirks, and there's a good amount of comedy about this game, too, that helps break up the drama. Another thing to note that I forgot earlier is this is a third person. So once you've got your team back together, you can change who you're following. So you don't always have to follow Gustave, you can ogle the women instead, if that's your, you know, your want to do.
Aki.
Yes. Exploration of the world is fun. The landscape on the expedition varies in different locations. It's as beautiful as it is deadly. There are luminous plants in odd colors and fantastical flora and beasts called Nevrons to fight. There's a section where the environment is like walking on the ocean floor and there's floating water everywhere. There's a lot of movement in the world, from grass and trees to floating particles and falling leaves. Your characters have moving hair and clothing. But water and reflection work is excellent. The lighting is gorgeous. There's even fog. There's a run button that I barely ever used because I was too busy taking in my surroundings. You have a grapple gun to propel you around the environment when you see a climb point. There are ropes and other points to climb and descend as well. There are some story encounters and bosses that are random encounters as well. Some fights you can avoid, others not so much. As you explore, you'll find flags of the previous expeditions that allow you to heal, recharge your healing items, upgrade your characters, and more. Once you unlock a few flags, you can also fast travel between them. You also unlock a way to fly around the continent later on, but I won't spoil that for anybody because it's really cool. There are also camps where you can rest and do weapon upgrades. You can camp anywhere on the continent map, which is different from your local area maps that have the flags. So there's like an area in that you're in that's kind of linear, and you can explore in that area, and then you get out into the main map and you can explore around there, and you go into more of these kind of like linear closed off areas. It's pretty standard, you know, like JRPG fare at that point. At camps, you also get cutscenes which help progress side story or main story. There's different side scenes you can pick up. You can play records on a gramophone that you collect with music from the game. I believe there's 33 records. Using the fire at camp allows you to sleep, remember the current objective, or write in your journal for those who come after. Let's talk about combat. It's turn-based with real-time elements, meaning you'll have to dodge and parry, and some skills have active components to press A to get better damage as well. Sometimes enemies can attack the whole party at once, and a well-timed parry can offer a counterattack from the whole party. You can also get a first strike on enemies with a well-timed right bumper press. When you start a new game, there are three difficulties to choose from. Story, with less demanding combat and easier dodge and parries. Expeditioner, which is the intended difficulty with challenging combat and dodge parry is encouraged but not mandatory. And then there's expert, with highly demanding combat and dodging and parrying is required. Your difficulty level doesn't appear to have any effect on achievements. Also, you can change this at any time outside of battle. I would say the combat can be demanding even on story level. Until you get used to those dodge and parries.
Yeah, I am really bad at parrying. I can dodge all right, but timing the parrying, I'm just not good at.
Yeah. And then there's like other things you have to do. Sometimes like jump, and you can counterattack with a right trigger if you get the jump timed right, and just there's a lot of little active components that are actually make the game really engaging for turn-based combat. And then your basic options in turn-based combat are attack, aim, skill, or item. Skills use action points, and you can gain back those action points by performing base attacks or parries. You can have up to 6 skills equipped on character at a time, which is important for elemental damage for enemies with different weaknesses. There are 5 elements: ice, fire, lightning, earth, and light. Most enemies have some kind of elemental affinity where they're weak, resistant, immune, or they absorb and heal that element. Let's see. Gustav has a special arm you can charge to do devastating lightning attacks. Once it's charged, you get to use a special skill to unleash it. You can charge it by dealing damage as well as dodging and parrying. When you get a perfect parry, you also get a counterattack. And you also have guns, which enable you to aim at weak points on enemies or use as a primary damage against flying enemies that easily dodge regular attacks. Guns are also useful in like boss fights, where they throw down like flowers that they can use to charge up, and you can like aim at the flowers and take down different things. Like usually there's like little glowy faces or some sort of obvious point to shoot at, which is pretty cool. You build your party of 3 characters at a time, so you have more things to fiddle with as you get further into the game. Finding out how your characters work together and learning pictos is so key to some of the fun nuance of the combat options. You have also have a timeline to show turn order on the left side of your screen. Your character's speed and agility affect who goes in what order. Leveling your character is interesting, but not overly complex. You can equip things called pictos, which I just mentioned a second ago, to learn their passive effects called Lumina. You can have a few of those things equipped at each time. You have a skill tree that unlocks as you level. You have up to those 6 skills equipped at a time. Each character in your team has their own page to update their skills and weapons. You can change and upgrade weapons in this as well. And they have passive abilities when equipped, so read the fine print on your weapons as well. There are also attributes that level up with your character, like luck, defense, agility, might, and vitality, as well as combat stats like health, speed, power, and crit rate. Other characters have special abilities like Lune's Elemental Stains, Miles' Battle Stances, and Ciel's Foretell System. It's all very unique. Thematically, all the items are things like Picto's Chroma, Lumia's Tints, and it's all about light and color, which is, you know, a big theme of the world, painting and light and color. You can find a lot in the world by exploring, or you can buy items from traveling Gestral merchants who offer goods for Chroma. They reserve the good items for powerful warriors, though, so you may have to duel them to impress them to unlock their full inventory, which I thought was really cool. Dueling is one-on-one, so you get to pick one of your characters instead of your whole team to fight. It's just a really fun little thing to do. Another mechanic in the game is relationship levels. There isn't a way to romance characters, it's more about team building. And there's achievements for reaching the different relationship levels at like 7 or whatever. Let's talk about the music. It's haunting and sad, heartbreaking even. There's lots of strings and piano and vocals for pulling on the emotions. The main theme overture becomes battle music early on in a different rendition with like drums and a bigger stabbing sound. And then once we get into the expedition, the music changes. But still those same sad strings with a punch. I would really love if there was a way to get the soundtrack somewhere because it's really good. Some of the tracks with vocals reminded me of some Cirque du Soleil music. And that's a good thing for me. There are some fun tracks later on that break the mold, like some funky music of the Gestral Village, heavy guitars and saxophone for CL's intro. Like, it's a good, fun soundtrack. Besides the music, talk about the voice acting, which is fantastic. Charlie Cox of Daredevil plays Gustav. You have Andy Serkis, as in Gollum. Just to name the two most recognizable, the rest of the main cast has their roots in voice work for video games like Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk 2077. Like, it's just an all-around good voice-acted game. The main story has about 30 hours of gameplay. You're looking at 50 to 60 hours with collectibles and achievements. For someone like me, could totally be like 100 hours by the time I'm done trying to get all the collectibles, because I'm sometimes slow. There are at least two...
Question.
Yes? Go ahead.
You mentioned the voice acting a second ago. Is there only English language, or is there also French?
There is also French. And some of that is mixed in the first place. Like, you're going to find some French just naturally, even in the English. But there's good subtitles in general for all of that.
Nice. I just wanted to know if there was... French audio track, because I like listening to...
I believe there is. Don't quote me on that one, because I there did not is. Look for... Or, there is? Okay, yes.
There is.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right.
Just English and French for the audio.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't 100% sure on the voice.
But the website has information like the interface and the subtitles could be Spanish, French, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, a couple others.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, cool. Thank you.
There are at least two distinct endings, not good or bad, just different based on choices you make toward the end. There's a new game plus with harder fights, exclusive rewards and upgrades. You keep your character progression and your inventory, but everything else is lost. Relationship levels, side quest progression, and quest items will be gone. Took a look through the settings before I started the game, and there are colorblind modes, motion sickness dot, camera shake disabling, subtitle settings, and the ability to turn on automatic quick time event completions. So that'll help with things like parries and dodges and that sort of thing.
I don't think it helps with parries and dodges.
No, it
helps with the
it doesn't.
The quick time attacks.
Okay, maybe it's just the attacks then. Yeah. I didn't try turning it on, so...
From what I've seen other players say, it doesn't help with dodging and parrying. You still got to learn those.
Okay, that's fair. The game auto-saves, but also has load points, so you can load previous saves. Some small knocks on the game. A lot of the game can feel really linear at first, kind of like Final Fantasy 13 to me. And then the world opens up later. Yet somehow I got turned around and lost for a little while because there's no mini-map that fills out as you go in the smaller areas. Eventually you get past the first area, you get a world map. But I feel like I missed a lot of stuff in the smaller area because I couldn't get over, like, the terrain and get, you know, there was no compass or anything like that until you get to the world map.
Yeah.
My other goofy small knock is that I couldn't get over that Gustav looked kind of like Robert Pattinson.
That's all I fucking see with him. That's all I see with him.
His voice is different, which is nice, and the character certainly stood out, but like every once in a while he's not saying something and I'm just like, oh, Robert Pattinson, like what, why does he look so much like Robert Pattinson? Let's see, and I want to comment that the deluxe edition comes with some costumes for an extra $10, which is a nice way to support the devs if you like the game, but I don't know that it's really necessary. I'm not a big one for costume DLC. I think this is a missed opportunity for them to do something like a soundtrack app. But yeah, there's not too much more I could say about the game without ruining it. It's the story is great. Like, man, this has been what I've been playing all week. So,
I'm trying to see here. I thought there was a soundtrack bundle for this, but might have been a different game. The soundtrack is available on iTunes.
All right.
$29.99 for 150 songs.
Nice.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I'm not an iTunes user, but it's good to know that that's an option out there.
If that's too rich for your blood, Bandcamp has it for about $10.
Okay.
Same full soundtrack.
More the Bandcamp route for me.
So, yeah, there you go.
All right.
Music is out there. Aki, did you get any time with this?
I am still currently downloading it, so no. Yes, people, I am downloading it. Downloading the shit out of it.
Brief amount of time with this. I want to play more. There's times where it kind of fucks with my motion sickness. And then there's a lot of arm pain I'm still dealing with, where I can't really play for long sessions. But for what I'm playing of this, it is gorgeous. It is entertaining. The battle system is really good. The music is incredible. Although I wish the music were a bit lower. I feel like I had to lower it a lot so I could hear the voices during cutscenes.
Okay.
It seems like the mix is a little off there.
Yeah.
But, I absolutely love this game from what I've played so far, and all the talk of a potential game of the year nod for this already, I'm on board with it.
Yeah.
Locks in at $49.99. What is your verdict?
So this game is amazing. I look forward to getting all the achievements. I think any fan of modern turn-based RPGs is really going to enjoy this. It's dark fantasy mixed with photorealism is an absolute delight. Combat is stylized and has many nuances with it if you choose to involve yourself with it. When you hit the dodges and parries just right, it is so satisfying. The music, voice acting, and art are fantastic. The story and character writing is well done. I think the price is a steal for a new game of this caliber. Please go buy this. It's on Game Pass too.
It is. So play it on Game Pass at the very least.
At the very least, yeah.
I'm gonna agree with you, and I'll go one step further. Everybody has to fucking buy this.
Yeah.
Even if you're not into like traditional turn-based RPGs, try it on Game Pass because it might win you over with how different the battle system is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, find a way to play this. Do it. Next game, Hammerzone, The Explorer's Legacy, developed by Microid Studio Paris, published by Microids, released April 24th, Series X and S, PS5, PC for $39.99. As a young journalist, you've been entrusted with a crucial mission to cross the globe and reach the heart of a mysterious, faraway land. Your goal is to bring back the last egg of the mythical Great White Birds. According to legend, they are bound up with the fate of the only country they call home, a land with strange, dangerous plants and wildlife that has been devastated by years of bloody dictatorship. Trump got there. God damn it. All right, Jacob, what's Hammerzone?
So Hammerzone, if you're watching the trailers, you might think that it's more of a walking simulator. And it's really not. It is very much a large puzzle game, very much in like the vein of Myst, although not nearly as hard, which is, you know, always.
Well, that's cool.
One of the nice things is that at the beginning of the game, they do offer a more story-based approach that also has more hints, and it skips some of the walking that you have to do in the game to get from point A to point B, so you can, like, you know, hit a button down, you know, in a valley and then climb back up and see if you've moved the monument to the correct angle, you know, that kind of stuff. So you are a young reporter, and I'll be honest, I was actually surprised. I mean, like, I know so many of these games, of course they have a plot to them. But I was really surprised with, like, how in-depth it is. And when I compared it to Myst, I mean it, like, along lore levels, too. There is a lot to... first off, there's a lot of story in there. But there's also, like, a lot of, not necessarily side quests, but side stories that develop. And some of it just comes from looking at various objects and studying them and, like, you know, what inferences you can make about them.
Hey, Aki, you here yet? She's pooping.
Okay.
She messaged me. She says, like, BRB, I'm taking a Jacob. I'm using that opportunity to call her out on this show.
Alrighty. So anyway, so you're this young reporter who goes to meet with this explorer who's become a bit of a recluse in his later years. Pretty much, he is a scientist who was disgraced years and years ago, and he needs you to right his wrongs that he did as a young explorer so many years ago. You heard the thing about the egg. That's what it revolves around, but there's a lot of mystery going with this. I mean, because first off, you're learning about the guy who you're supposed to be interviewing, but you're also learning about this far-off land, this country that, you know, nobody really cares about, which has been taken over by dictatorship and imperialism, and you need to right that somehow. And it involves taking this egg back to the land. It continually gets more interesting as you go on. There is a lot to look at in this thing, like the buildings, the environments that you walk around in. They're beautiful. They're highly detailed. On my Xbox Series X, it ran fine on Windows, even though I had it on performance mode. It still started getting a bit sluggish at times. So if you don't have a higher end PC, you may want to. I mean, I don't know. I assume that there's more stuff to mess with on the PC version of this than the Xbox, because that's where I was running it off of my PC. But anyway, there's a lot of beautiful stuff to look at, a lot of objects that you have to review. And of course, there's the puzzles. And yeah, the puzzles, even though I was on like the more casual story based mode, the puzzles, a good amount of them still tripped me up, and I had to look at guides that people had written years ago about the original version of this game, because it saved a lot of those puzzles for it. And so I was like, oh, okay, all right, now I have the solution for this, yay. But the game does try to give you hints, and to be honest, the hints that you can make happen in your journal, or make appear in your journal, I should say, they're really hit or miss. Like, it's either, oh yeah, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do, or like, what? Like, you know, you have to get to the end of the hallway. This means you have to open the door. Okay, I know that, but the door's still locked. Like, but with this, it's a lot of exploration and a lot of, you know, figuring out what needs to be done, where to go next, all that other kind of stuff. But yeah, there's a lot to it. I'm really enjoying it. It's a fantastic game with lots of story, lots of voice acting. There's a lot of love put into this game, and if you're a fan of these kind of environmental puzzle games, then I think you should really check this one out. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like, this one's staying on my Xbox for a while.
Yeah, this one looks really good. It's on my wish list.
Even though I do have to use a guide.
That's because you're a bitch.
I mean, no, it's because he's not very smart. There's a difference.
There we go. Thanks, Aki.
He's a dumb bitch.
Yes.
Very possibly, yes.
Well, it sounds like this game is for all bitches, dumb or smart. It's $39.99. How do you rate it?
Yeah, I would definitely buy it. This is a great game. It's really interesting, and it's interesting and compelling, and it's beautiful to look at. Definitely check it out.
Cool.
It's on my wish list now.
Yeah, I think it's on all of ours.
Yeah. You convinced literally the entire show to wish list this game.
Yes.
Yeah, I was iffy on it beforehand. I was thinking about it. But yet,
if I didn't have Player Obscure, I would have jumped on it, but yeah.
Yeah, if I didn't have other games, I would have probably done it too. What?
Jacob's so dumb he can't solve it? Oh, gotta play it now.
I mean, tic-tac-toe isn't everyone's game, I guess, Jacob.
Neck 4 is better.
Significantly, but if he can't do tic-tac-toe, there's no way he's doing Connect 4. That's just cruel. Don't be cruel to him.
Now I want to see you two play an online game of tic-tac-toe.
That would not be a good idea.
Why?
Because there's a way to win, and I've memorized. So I will either win, or I will constantly draw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just sit there drawing forever until he fucks up. That's a waste of my time.
You fuck up first.
Then I will hate myself, and I might play in front of traffic.
Why am I even playing tic-tac-toe with Aki? There are way better.
He doesn't know how to play tic-tac-toe. Don't be mean to him.
There are way better games that we could be playing.
Like?
Ookie Cookie.
The fuck is that?
All right, Strip Risk it is. We're going to play that next. next game to talk about, Once Upon a Puppet, developed by Flatter Than Earth, published by Daedalic, released April 23rd, Xbox Series X and S, Switch, PS5, PC, $29.99. Welcome to Once Upon a Puppet, a 2.5D puzzle platformer that unfolds within a vibrant world of theater. Take part in a magical tale that combines classic platforming with puppet-inspired gameplay and a captivating story of friendship, self-discovery, and redemption. Aki, tell us about Once Upon a Puppet.
Okay, so in this, you play as technically two characters just at the same time. You play as a little puppet,
And you also called Drev, D-R-E-V.
Yay! Drev,
as well as a glove, I guess, because I don't think it's actually a hand, but a glove for puppeting him. I don't remember the puppet's name, even though I read its name a lot. I've already forgotten it.
Your fan is so squeaky today.
Yeah. Hold on. I will fix that. Give me just a second.
Well, she's fixing
it. It honestly sounds like people on a bed.
Yeah. Sounds like... A big shout out to Vertically Impaired for his 86th month sub.
Wow.
Thank you.
Tony, I love having you here. Love when you show up. Enjoy the kitty cats. Enjoy the emotes. Thank you for your company. Aki, okay. Once upon a puppet.
Yeah. So, yeah, you play as these two individuals. The disembodied glove is an uppity shit. And Drev is the lovable idiot. Moron. Dumb ass. Lots of explicitives there. He is just about as brain dead can get, poor guy. And he was screwing around with a magical spool of magical yarn, and you, as the hand, tried to take it back because it was yours, and now the two of you idiots are stuck together, literally. So now you're puppeting him, kind of. And helping him get around the area so you can figure out how to unattach yourselves from each other, and so you can find more magical spools of yarn so you can create the perfect outfit for the king puppet jackass who threw you into a hole. All of this is basically based around the concept that the world is a stage. And the king and all the uppity rich folk all live on the actual stage. And everyone who's cast out is thrown through the trap door of the stage into the understage. And that's where the game, I'm pretty sure, exclusively takes place, is in the understage. So the two of you are off trying to figure this out, and you quickly find yourselves doing an epic quest, because there just so happens to be some amazing tale where a duo of attached puppet and hand save the kingdom from a mad king and bring the world to peace and defeat a shadow king who's a dickhead. And the shadow king is actively creating goop that they call stage fright. And if you get near it, it swallows you whole and you die. He's also creating junk puppets. So not proper puppets, but just shit that's picked up and put together. And he's creating monsters out of them. And you can't beat them. You run away from them. And they're fast little bastards. There really needs to be an update to the game that slows them little bastards down, because they are fast. And if they see you, they're after you. Prepare your booty hole. A lot of this is based on platforming. As you go through the levels, you eventually find extra normal bits of yarn that have different qualities, and it gets attached to you on purpose. And you can use that stuff to do other things to help you get around. Like, for instance, one of the first ones you find is a really light, airy yarn. And when it's found, your hand takes it and equips it to you. And you're able to double jump from that point forward, and also to float. And when you're floating, you're not like, oh, staying level. You're just slowly falling to the ground, which allows you, obviously, to move around a bit more. Another one allows you to basically treat yourself like a slingshot if you can find a slingshot point. Stuff like that. The game has a lot of ways to die. So many ways to die. Tons of death. You die a lot. And there's an achievement for not dying. So good fucking luck with that. I don't know how many times I've died, but the number is entirely too much. there is a chapter select option, and I'm seriously hoping that if you just replay a chapter and not die in it, that you can still get the achievement. We'll see when I actually manage to beat the game. That is what happens. If not, I'm going to be very, very upset. Because this game, some of the platforming is incredibly hard. Just because some of it is not completely precision, but close enough that it might as well be. There's a lot of like swinging on ropes and then jumping and catching onto the next area, and it doesn't always work super well, for instance. And there's a whole bunch of different chase sequences that are very easy to die in if you're a dumb bitch like I am. Stuff like that. There's also collectibles in every level. There are props that you can pick up that just get stowed away. There's costumes you can find that you can actually wear, and there are achievements related to wearing those costumes and doing certain options or actions. And there's also story pane fragments, and they're basically like fragments of glass pane windows. And every level, when you go into it, you have to find them. If you fail, thankfully it's saved, so you can go into chapter select later from the main menu, and it'll actually tell you how many you have out of how many total there are for the level. So that's really nice. There's an achievement for collecting it for every last one of the levels too, so have fun.
That achievement where you can't die at all, no one has it yet.
I fucking hate my life. I hate my life. I hate my life so much.
There's someone who has every achievement but that one.
Oh no, that probably means that the chapter select isn't going to work. No, I don't. This is too hard of a game. I can't get that. Shit. Oh no. Everyone, if you've played Little Nightmares and you've beaten it in under an hour without dying, then you're going to be able to get this. Everyone else, well, you're shit out of luck. Have fun. otherwise, the game is pretty cute. It's pretty fun. There's lots of different traversal stuff, and as you unlock new yarn upgrades, you get more ways to traverse, and they're always based on the level where you find them, obviously. So it's not like you're getting this stuff and then, oh, now there's new pathways in the prior levels. No, you don't have to worry about that shit. And, I think it's really cute. I really like the graphics of it, like, a lot. It is colorful and it all looks like toys. It is fantastic looking. And, any questions, Joe?
No, my only question is, it's a $30 game. Is it worth it?
Hell yes. I fucking love this game. I'm going to continue playing this game until that is the last achievement I have, and then I might give up. Because I'm never going to beat this without dying. That's just not happening.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, next up is Peglin, developed by Red Nexus Games, published by Blitworks, released May 1st, Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. Peglin is a pachinko roguelike. Fight enemies by collecting special orbs and popping pegs to deal damage. Acquire special relics that radically change the game and ensure no two runs are the same. Aim carefully to survive in this unique turn-based RPG.
Fuck
Jacob,
you.
What is Peglin?
So Peglin is what you would get if you wanted to combine a roguelite with Peggle. If you remember that game, that was it's now owned by EA, but it was done by PopCap years ago. So it takes that same formula, and you are given all these different game boards. And on one end, you have yourself, and on the other end, you have the enemies that you have to kill. And what you do is by shooting. Oh, yeah. Do you need to fire that up? Ball squad?
I mean, there's a lot of balls. I guess we could.
Yes, this is a ball squad game. Yes.
Oh, it's bigger. All right. Yeah.
Well.
for life.
So yeah, so you have to shoot these balls onto the game board, and they bounce all over the place. Hopefully you can aim it so it will collect like power-ups that will help make your attacks bigger and better. And then it's your enemy's turn to attack, and then it's yours, and you just keep repeating it until there are no more enemies, and then you move on to the next board. It's, I'm not gonna lie, it's addictive. Like, it's decently fun and addictive. I mean, it's not the, like, it's not earth-shaking, like, you know, revolutionary, but it's definitely fun enough to keep your amusement with it. I mean, if you liked the idea of Peggle before, this is the same kind of thing. And the RPG element kind of adds, like, not so much like a time thing, because, I mean, obviously, it's, you can take as much time as you want. You know, it's just as long as you have enough HP left at the end of it. But it does give her like a real sense of like purpose and like, I don't know. What's the word I want to, I don't know, but you want to keep moving. And like, it's not just like a simple, like, cause one of the things with, Peggle is that was very much like a game that like, I felt like you could just like pick up, put down whenever. Peglin, you really want to keep playing this and get your goblin like stronger, get better weapons. You know,
well, it's a roguelike, so it's going as far as you can with what the game gives you that run.
Right. Which I will say that there does come to be a point where the game's just like, ha ha ha, screw you. Like, and your enemies are going to have like thousands of HP and you will be hitting a wall. But, you know, I mean, that's standard with these kind of games, and it's, honestly, it's pretty fun.
The thing I really like about this game is that it's not like Peggle and that you have to get rid of everything. In this, they have special orbs that you could hit. Some have coins that you could use to buy items. Some are critical damage multipliers.
Obviously, those are helpful.
And then there's green ones that reset the board. So, if you get a pretty decent run and get it bouncing around, you hit a critical, you start adding up a lot of damage, and then you hit a reset, and all those come back, and you start hitting them again. Building combos in this game is so friggin' fun.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's a lot to like in this game.
Especially with all the different orbs they have that you can mess with, and I love this game. I'm a fan of Peggle, and throwing in roguelite elements and RPG elements, I think just brings it to a whole new level. And I really like this game. It clocks in at $20. What's your verdict?
Yeah, I'll go with 20 as a buy it. I'd be more cool with 15, but 20's a fine price point for this game. You definitely get what you pay for, and then some.
Cool. I can agree. 20's good. Buy it. Next up, Cooking, developed and published by Red Deer Games, released April 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S for $11.99. Run your own restaurant and prepare the most iconic Japanese dishes and traditional drinks. Take orders, prepare meals, decorate your restaurant, and develop your cooking skills each day. Not only are we covering this, our friends at Red Deer Games hooked us up with some giveaway codes for this. So if you are in our Twitch chat right now, make sure you type !enter to get your shot at winning a copy of Cooking. Should we draw a winner now or after the review?
Do it after the review.
Cool.
Yeah. That way they know what they're getting.
All right. Bree, what is Cooking?
Well, this is a simulator game. It's just called Cooking, but it's about a Japanese restaurant, more specifically making sushi. You get a decent tutorial when you start the game that shows you how to move, that you need to accept orders, you can decline them at a cost, shows you how to pull up recipes and a cookbook. The tutorial leaves a little to be desired in that it didn't prepare me for having to go to the pantry to pull ingredients like rice to a workstation or find a measuring cup. The game relies very much on visual indicators, like showing a shadow of the shape of the bowl or ingredient you need next on the workspace, and sometimes that gets confusing. The cookbook shows pictures of how to do things, and the recipe is more like a task list of what you need to do to make the item. The game is very detailed on all the tiny little steps that you'll need to do to make a piece of sushi. I struggled just trying to figure out how to make the rice in the rice cooker at first. To explain, you need to find the rice in the pantry, get a measuring cup to pour the rice in, you have to wash the rice, put your washed rice in the cooker, fill up a cup of water and pour it in the cooker, then you mix your vinegar and mirin and sugar and salt for your sushi rice, then you put the sauce and the rice together, and then there are mini games all along the way. You'll need to press a button to make at the right time to make, like as a ring shrinks. Or you'll pour without going over too much. You'll need to shake and move things at every station. And you really have to learn where everything is in your pantry. If you hover over an item, a label comes up, which is helpful, but frustrating at first until you get to know your kitchen, which I would say is like starting any new job like this. You're really going to go slow until you know the routines and you know where all your tools and materials are by heart. I feel like when I've made sushi in the past, I lined up all my ingredients first and then put everything together in what felt like a much less complicated process. But then I also remember there being a lot of sake involved. So I don't know what I remember anymore.
Are you drunk?
No.
Are you cooking with wine?
Not right now. That was yesterday when I made fajitas with habanero wine. All right. Making sashimi is really simple. Nigiri and onigiri are a little more complex. Making rolls is even more complicated than that. You have to make the rice, cut the fish, find the vegetables, cream cheese and other ingredients to assemble all together with a roll, and you roll it up on a bamboo mat. And then there's all kinds of different combinations for your invisible customers that they can order through your app. You can even brew one of four teas for your customers. Thankfully, you make money in the game that you can use to upgrade your restaurant with. You can automate processes like washing the rice or even have all your rice made for you. And you can just focus on making your sushi. You can also upgrade the decor of your restaurant, and there are achievements for doing all the upgrades, which is a fair amount of money. The music is Japanese-inspired chill, sometimes with a lo-fi beat. The art is clean and nice. And there is no urgency to this game. You make things in your own time, so it's very zen. Like, it's really relaxed. There's no, like, timer for each customer. You just take one order at a time. You make the whole thing. It's all about that process. It does look like there's either a broken achievement for cooking one of everything, or it's just possible that there's so many different combinations of food that you'll need to put in a lot of hours to find them all. I ran into a little problem with equipment upgrades where I really needed a trash can to get rid of things. Because you can skip steps, but the format wants you to do all the steps, and then I ended up with extra cups sitting around, and it was really weird. But when I reloaded my game, like, those extra cups that were sitting around disappeared, so, like, that's a workaround for that. Yeah. It's pretty relaxing to play once you found your rhythm. I also found it to be somewhat repetitive for long stretches of play. Although I say that I'm playing it right now, I've been playing it a little bit during the show. Because it's a really simple game despite its complex set of steps and processes to make the food. I would say, despite a few knocks and an uninspired title, I can say if you've ever wanted to know more about how to make sushi, this is a really cool game for that, and it's got a decent price.
Right, well, that price is $11.99. What is your verdict on cooking?
I'm going to put this at a try it. If you like sim games, this one's not too bad. It's just lacking a little something special to make me want to give it an outright buy it.
That is fair.
That said, I'm still enjoying it, and I'm playing it right now because it's very chill.
All right, well, if you are on the fence about it, yeah, copies to give away, and I think it's time to give one away.
Yeah,
let's definitely close the giveaway. Giveaway draw. The winner is BX Latino Heat. Congrats. You will get a copy of Cooking. And stick around, because we got another.
Yay! But
first, next game to talk about is Ninth Dawn Remake, developed and published by Valorware, released April 24th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $15.99. Ninth Dawn Remake is a massive open-world RPG bursting with dungeon-crawling adventure. The game has been lovingly recreated based on the original Ninth Dawn game released in 2012. Spawn the Ninth Dawn series you know and love. Play in single-player mode or with a friend with online and local co-op modes. Explore a vast world filled with huge new dungeons, hordes of monsters, and ridiculous amounts of loot. Jacob, tell us about Ninth Dawn Remake. Jacob?
Or not.
I forgot to unmute myself.
Ah.
You know, classic talking to nothing. Anyway. So, I haven't played any of these games before, but I had played similar games when I was a kid. I don't know if either any of you remember Taskmaker way back in the day. It was very much an open world RPG, top down. You had to move your... all right, anyway, not important. Anyways, I was excited because the stuff that I was seeing, it reminded me of the games of my youth. And it's very much, in that vein of pretty much, well, let me get into it. There's two ways to play this game if you want. One is that top-down view that I was talking about. However, there's also a, 3D view that you can do, which I think is really neat because, it looks like those old, like, Elder Scrolls games. Like, I think it's Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall. Is it?
Well, probably.
Anyway. Anyway. Like, it looks like an awful lot like that. So, whichever retro view you want to do, you can. Then you go about creating your character, what kind of weapons you're going to be using, what kind of loot that you'll have. And then, pretty much the game, like, it'll walk you through, like, the basic, like, this is how you dodge, this is how you attack, this is how you, like, use your inventory. That kind of stuff. It then just kind of tosses you out there and you're allowed to go explore. Do you want to join a guild? Do you want to like learn magic? you know, like, do you want to do just like a bunch of fetch quests, for stuff, kill monsters, whatever. Do you want to finally figure out what the actual plot of this game is? You can do that too in this game. And there's tons of NPCs to talk to. One of the nice things is that, like, it's not like a ton of dialogue. And so, like, you know, if you accidentally talk to somebody again, you're not stuck through, like, you know, 5 minutes of exposition about how terrible it is to be a peasant. But yeah, like, the action's kind of zippy. I was having a little bit of an issue with ranged weapons, trying to figure out, like, trying to get them to work with the game's mechanics, because you're moving, like, with one, you're moving with one joystick, and the right joystick is where you're aiming your weapon, and it doesn't always work well with, like, bows and arrows and stuff like that, but other than that, I was having a blast. Like, it's old-school fun, it looks great, either way you're playing it, and if you're looking for, like, you know, retro RPG, this is a good choice. I liked it a lot.
Did you say it plays in first and third person?
Yeah, there is a first person that you can mess with.
What did you find easier?
Third. I mean, either one is okay. I think it's just like really a preference thing, to be honest. I mean, I didn't fool around with the first person thing because I don't know. I know it's going for more of like the old school, like Elder Scrolls feel for it, but like it reminded me more of Minecraft than anything. And I was kind of like, but, the third person, like it, I don't know. As I said, like it brought me back to like those kind of game, like the RPGs of my youth. And I was in heaven. I didn't need anything else other than that. Like, I honestly felt like I was 7 years old again playing Taskmaker on my Apple computer.
Gotcha. All right. Well, this one clocks in at whatever the price is that's on my notes that I can't fucking find. $15.99. Jacob, how is Ninth on remake?
Yeah, okay. I was expecting more. $15.99, that's a great price for this. There's a lot to do in it. And if you like RPGs, I think you're going to find a lot to like. And it's got interesting characters, cool battles. There's a lot to do in here. So I recommend it.
Sounds good. I need to play this one. I feel awful because I got a code for this. Thanks to the PR folks, and because of my arm, I haven't been able to play it.
Oh, yeah, you're not.
Which really sucks because I liked the third game in the series. I was looking forward to trying this one. So, in due time, I guess.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Yeah.
Indubitably.
Next up, Fit and Fry, developed and published by Aphil Games, released May 1st. On Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows Store, PS4 and PS5, $4.99 each. Cooking here is a delicious puzzle. Each level is a new dish to prepare, and your challenge is to fit all the ingredients perfectly into the pan. But be careful, space is limited, and only the best chefs will be able to complete each recipe without wasting anything. Bree, tell us about your time cooking again.
This is a kitchen-themed fit puzzle game, like Legends Aligned or Fit My Cat. You have a grill grid with oil in it that you need to fit food by rotating and then placing them so they all fit in the grid. You have things like sausages, carrots, potatoes, and garlic that all have specific sizes and shapes. And you'll need to try and fit, but it gets more complex every few levels, with either larger or more complicated grids or new food shapes or both. Like, you'll have U-shaped fish and you'll have green peppers, which are annoying to fit anywhere because you have that little stem in the middle. There are hints if you need them throughout the game. There's 40 levels. The game refers to levels like recipes, where each level is a combination of ingredients. So there's more challenging recipes as you get toward the end. The music is like this repetitive elevator music. I don't know how else to describe it. But there are very satisfying fry sounds when you put your food in the fryer. I found this one to be really fun and relaxing. I like the food theme better than the previous one with the fantasy miniatures, Legends Aligned. But there's not much else to really say about the game. I mean, you put food in the grid and you puzzle it out.
Did you complete
it? It's pretty cool. I did. Yeah. Thrice.
How long of a completion?
It's less than an hour. I don't know. 30 minutes? 40 minutes?
I was going to say, like, about 40
minutes. I also played it.
Okay.
Jacob, what did you think about it?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I really liked the Legends Aligned?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the hell out of that game. And so, when I went to play this, like, I was just like, oh, hell yeah. Like, this has suddenly become my favorite kind of puzzle game. I don't know if this means I'm, like, getting old or what, but...
You are.
You should play Fit My Cat next.
Well, I will. I mean, it's the same kind of thing, according to this, right? Same people? Yep.
No, different people. It's the same kind of game, though.
Oh, alrighty. Fit My Cat. Oh,
my cat is from Red Deer Games, who did Cooking.
Yes, Cooking. Yes, there you go.
But yeah, I like the hell out of it. So
yeah, as I really like this one better than Legends Aligned. I enjoyed the cooking theme a lot. It's a fun game.
All right, $5. Give me a verdict.
Buy it. Definitely a buy it.
Oh yeah. Good.
So all in agreement that's a good one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thumbs up, Aphil. Let's see if you could get two in a row. Final game to talk about tonight is Mystic Pathways, developed and published by Aphil Games, released April 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows Store, PS4, PS5, $4.99 each. Embark on a magical journey with Mystic Pathways, a puzzle game that challenges your logic and creativity. Manipulate enchanted trails on a beautifully designed hexagonal board to guide mystical fairies in collecting magic crystals and activating sacred altars. Jacob, what's Mystic Pathways?
All right, so Mystic Pathways is released by Aphil Games, who also did Bee Flowers. And if you played Bee Flowers or its sequel, Bee Flowers Electric Boogaloo, whatever the heck it was called, there, something like that, yeah. So if you played that, but you were like, ah, man, I wish this wasn't about bees and flowers, but I wish it was about fairies and magic crystals. Well, have we got a tile-based puzzle game for you. In this game, you have to move these tiles, whether it's rotated or move them to a different area of the board. And you have to make these paths that will make it so that the fairies can walk around and or fly around. Because, yeah, they're flying. Fly around, gather their crystals, and then make it back to their little thing. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a stone structure. It's not a house. I don't know. Temple, whatever.
It's an altar?
Altar. Thank you. There we go. That makes slightly more sense.
I played this too.
But, yeah, so you just, so they go to their altar and then you do it again and again and again. And sometimes it throws in different mechanics. Like sometimes you'll have multiple fairies on the track all at once. And so you have to make sure that they don't collide. Other than that, the only other question to ask yourself about this game is, how cool am I with hearing I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee on loop?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. For the entire fucking game.
Yeah.
It is the only track. It is on a loop. It does not end because the level ended. It continues. And long after humanity has been extinguished from this earth, this game will still be playing I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. Unless, of course, you turn the volume down on the music, which is advisable.
Nice. Bree, your thoughts?
Aside from the music, I really enjoyed this one. I mean, I liked the pirate-themed one as well, but this was a good one.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. Like, it's one of those just... It really ends up becoming like the aesthetics. Like, it, do you like this kind of game? Cool. Buy it. Is this not your kind of puzzle game? Then maybe try it.
All right. Guess we're done.
All right.
Yay.
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 Thanks to you three for being here, hanging out the whole time. Music this episode, since we reviewed Claire Obscure, I'm going to play a song from Stemmage that features his wife Claire on it.
That makes
that
sense.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Did Aki go back to pooping? Oh, there she is.
No, I finished pulling a Jacob earlier.
Well, yeah, I know. I know you did a me earlier, but I didn't know if you had to do like a second one.
No.
Well, that's good.
Definitely.
Totally.
Yo, how's your poop been?
Me?
Yeah, you're the only one here named Joe.
I didn't hear you say Joe.
Oh. I mean, I could also ask Bree, but that feels awkward. It feels awkward.
Why?
Bree, how have your poos been? Because I don't feel awkward. I have no shame.
Yeah, no, they've been great since I got off that awful medication. So there you go.
Good.
That's good.
Now, Joe, how are your poos?
Painful, because I have to use my right arm. Take care of business.
Yeah.
Time to start working with your other arm then?
Can't do it. I can't use my left hand.
Well, that's a shame.
So what do you do? Did you just like install a bidet or?
No, I just hurt grit when I do it.
You grit through the wipe?
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's all I can do.
You should get a bidet.
I'll just come over here. I understand
they're amazing.
I'll just come over to your house and spray you with a hose out back.
You want.
Only if you wear a white t-shirt while I'm doing it.
I was waiting for that.
You can actually get a little handheld, like, squeeze bottle with an attachment that like, comes out that you can extend and use like a bidet. It's like a little personal thing.
Well, that sounds useful for, especially if you have to, like, travel a lot. That way you can use it, you know, in stores and shit. That sounds pretty useful, actually.
Sperry says poop in the shower.
Waffle Do stomp not that waffle fucker stomp.
Down. Oh, God.
Now I kind of want to hear a different... I wonder if I have that other song.
But is it a song about waffle stomping?
Yeah, it's a song about waffles.
Oh.
I don't know if I still have it. Now we're going to waste show time because I'm going to look for this fucking song. Doo-doo-doo. Yeah, we're still live, by the way. So
Yeah.
Show's still going. We haven't ended yet.
Wait, are we allowed to leave?
I mean, do have it. Fuck, we're playing this.
All right.
It's the song Waffles by Jake Vert Kaufman.
Did he change his middle name to Vert?
No, it's just his nickname.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could have said like AKA Vert.
No.
Jake Vert Kaufman.
No, with the way Vert was said, that was implied to be the nickname that they go by, and that is pretty common to do. So, no, there was no need for any AKAs.
I disagree.
Suck my dick.
It's okay to be wrong.
I cast my English degree.
I cast rap sheets everywhere. They win.
All right. Does anyone have any final words to end the show? Since this
wait,
is
what were you what were you arrested for?
We're not talking about things like that. So yeah, goodbye, everybody. It was a great show, and we'll see y'all later.
So, what did you get arrested for?
We're not doing this. We're good.
I mean, you brought it up.
No, I didn't.
I'll go first. I stole a car.
Really?
Yeah, really.
God damn it. Assault. Okay. I beat the shit out of a few people.
They die?
No. They're still alive. Maybe not happy, but they're alive. What?
Handicapped.
Oh, well, we're not going to talk about that either.
Alrighty.
Alright, who has final words to end the episode?
Don't ask me questions you don't want the answers to.
I mean, we do, but, like, you know, we're probably just not going to, like, discuss them on the podcast without, like, you know.
Yeah, probably.
Checking with you.
Yeah, probably a better idea. There we go. There's the last words.
People poop on this show a lot.